It's time for the Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's the Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on Salem Radio Boston. My name's John Paul, the Car Doctor, here to help you with your car problems on this Saturday morning. Yes, it's the Saturday morning before the Super Bowl, just in case you weren't listening to Sunrise Sports on just a minute ago. He did a great job talking about what's up with the Super Bowl, but that's their show, not mine. Here we talk about cars and car problems and other things that relate around the automotive industry. We'll be doing a car review later. We will play a little bit of automotive trivia coming up a little bit later, and also talk about some of the things that are in the news today. But first off, with us on the phone is Richard Rayner. He is with a website called CarID.com, and CarID is an automotive parts and accessory site, but they put together an interesting list of things. Right now, you kind of look at cars that are on the road, and they're as old as they've ever been. They're in the 11-year-old range, and that's about as old as they've ever been. But people are holding on to them. People are doing things to them. People are customizing them, all kinds of different things. Richard, good morning, and welcome to the Car Doctor program here in Boston.
John, good morning. Nice to be with you.
And before I ask what your football pick is for tomorrow, we'll talk. we'll talk about what's going on in the automotive industry. First off, let's talk about CarID. What's CarID all about?
CarID is an online shopping experience that we started off, John, selling accessories. We've expanded from there to sell repair parts. We're really listen. There's a lot of sites that are selling car parts online. We're really just trying to be a one-stop shopping experience, whether it's a repair part to get your car back on the road, or the latest and greatest in an accessory if you're modifying or customizing your car. We just want people to have a great online shopping experience, as simple as that.
And is there something that you guys specialize in? Is it hot rods? Is it regular cars? Is it trucks? Is it Jeeps? Or is it all of the above?
I think it's all of the above. Certainly, you know as well as I what people are buying today, and that is they're buying trucks. Last figures I saw said 60% of new vehicle sales in this country are what the government calls trucks, basically pickups, SUVs, and sport utilities. So that's a big, big part of our market. People buy these cars that are versatile to begin with and want to modify them even more. It really is a little bit of everything. One trend I'm happy to see as an older guy who's been in the business and the hobby my whole life is that younger people are getting into some of the older cars. They're buying American cars from the 60s and 70s and doing resto mods on them, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, whenever you see something that looks, that looks a little bit older, but it's a modern drivetrain underneath with modern brakes, modern suspension, it handles better than the cars of the 60s did, and it goes down the road, and besides being fast and powerful, they're clean, and I might not say economical, but they're what's coming out of the tailpipe is a lot cleaner than it was back in the mid to late 60s.
Exactly, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people that are putting a late model GM or Mopar crate motor into an older vehicle, and they're having fun with it. And that again, that's reassuring to me with the trends out there with autonomous driving and young people delaying getting their driver's licenses. We're seeing a little bit of the opposite. I'm just happy to see that the enthusiasts are still out there. So we're catering to them as well as to just the regular Joe and the regular Jane who just need to keep their older car on the road.
And part of it, too, is, when I think of customization, I guess I'd go back to when I was a kid, and the first thing you tried to do was figure out how to get the air cleaner off to put something chrome that sucked more air, and where the hacksaw was so you could cut the exhaust off and put loud exhaust on, because at the end of the day it really didn't do anything other than woke up the neighborhood. But that was sort of the first thing you did. But people are doing customization with things like neon and LEDs, and all of a sudden now you see a car go down the road and the original equipment manufacturers are doing the same thing. You'll see a ring of LED lights around a headlight, or you'll see brake lights and license plate lights that are different than the factory, and that's a form of customization, right?
Oh, it absolutely is. Lighting is one of the biggest categories for us, and I've spent some time even working on some cars in our own shop. The trend really started. You kind of hit it on the head there, John. BMW with their halo ring lights, and then Audi with their those LED strips. Next thing you knew, Hyundai and Kia put similar lights on their new vehicles. So of course you're driving an 11-year-old whatever, and you want similar lights. So the complete lighting assemblies, complete headlight and taillight assemblies that have these LED and neon lighting elements inside them are something that people are selling.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. They're looking at all of these original equipment customizations, and I'm sure it's companies like yours and others. All of a sudden, they're out at the SEMA show, the Specialty Equipment Show, out in Las Vegas. And next thing you know, something you see at SEMA shows up on a new car, and you go, "Well, I saw that when it was some guy who was thought about it in his garage."
Exactly. So you've got things as simple as I said, changing the light assembly. And now people are doing the undercar neon lights. Even if you have a daily driver, John, you can buy LED lighting elements for your interior lights, your overhead lights, for your backup lights. You wouldn't believe what a difference just changing out your reverse lights in your car will make. This becomes a safety feature now. You put your car into reverse, you turn your head around, all of a sudden the area behind your car is that much brighter because you've changed out the reverse lights to LED bulbs. So it's great.
Speaking of backing up, that's one of the things, just about every new car today has a backup camera. But if you own a car that's a few years old or an antique for that matter, you can get some pretty slick backup cameras. And you guys have a pretty good assortment of those too, right?
Yes, we do. Backup cameras, again, because of what we've seen with new vehicles, have become something that, let's say you've got a minivan. Let's say you're a soccer mom and you're driving a 5-6-year-old minivan. You're really not ready to trade up into a new vehicle. The price difference is going to be, $20,000, but you want some of these latest and greatest features. You can add a backup camera. You can now add a proximity sensors to your car. We sell those also, which are a great parking aid. So we're seeing that people who are just not ready to go into a new car can add things like backup cameras. And again, this is not only something that is adds to safety, but a lot of the things we sell, we appeal to the DIY market, so that the average car owner can install these accessories themselves.
And that's a big part of it. Sometimes you might not be ready to replace your stock engine with maybe keep the engine stock but put a turbocharger on it, but you want to do something that makes your car a little bit unique from everything else, and it could be some of the accessories. And I noticed on your website, right on the homepage of your website, you have these custom seat cover kits too, so you can really individualize the interior of the car.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's another great accessory that we've seen has expanded over the last several years. 2-3 years ago, most of the seat covers we sold were put on really either to cover up a worn-out interior or somebody who just wanted a little bit of a change, just wanted maybe to change the color. Now what we're seeing is people who are doing it more to customize the vehicle. So the seat cover of old, which was always, had a little bit of a loose fit to it, has evolved to now where the seat covers fit so well, they don't look like seat covers anymore. They look like you've reupholstered your car, And again, it's just part of this whole customization scene. This is fun for me. I mean, I'm an older guy. Listen, John, I remember I was a kid. I used to read my dad's J.C. Whitney. I used to read the catalog, J.C. Whitney, go back and forth from front cover to back cover. And I laugh to myself now because a lot of the things that we sell, like seat covers, like custom grills, like wheels, what's the cliche? You know, what's old is new again. These things that were in the J.C. Whitney catalog 40 years ago are some of the same things that we're selling.
Well, speaking of 40 years ago, how long have you guys been around, and what started it?
Not 40 years, no. Car ID has been around for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of guys who just, I would say, had a great future vision of what could be possible. And I think some of it was frustration on their own part, looking for a place where they could go to customize their own vehicles, and saw an opportunity to do this as an online experience. And again, it's great how much things have changed, but it's also strange to think back where we were, even with things like the internet and with smartphones 10 years or so ago, and it has just grown from there. So it was really started by a couple of enthusiasts, and it's exploded since then.
Yeah, and it's the technology is amazing. One of the things that, you know, was on your list was, you know, a few cars today are essentially mobile hotspots. And, you know, if you kind of feel left out of that, you can actually, you actually have the ability to sell someone something that turns their car into a mobile hotspot, right?
Yeah, we do. And I think that the key there is, and listen, everybody's got a smartphone today. So what we sell, among many of the other electronic devices, are things that will integrate your phone into your vehicle. So this gives you the advantage of being able to play music from your phone through your car, being able to use your phone, and listen, hands-free is very important for driver safety. We're talking about safety again, but these integrated devices allow you to connect your phone to your car. We also sell a lot of electronic devices, I won't say that compete with the phone, but free up the phone and allow the phone to do other things, like be used as a phone. So everything from a separate GPS systems to Bluetooth connectivity, adding video players to your car to entertain your kids in the back of the vehicle, you can really turn your car into an electronics store. So again, the technology of today has done great things in that regard.
And unlike the old days of J.C. Whitney, and I too lived for the J.C. Whitney catalog, and there was you know, nothing more satisfying when you saw the mail truck pull up with with a box, and you knew that it was going to be whatever you ordered. But you never quite knew what you were going to get, because sometimes the parts descriptions were a little bit vague, and they may have not exactly been name brand. But when you're on your website, you know they're actually name brand parts.
Exactly, John. And we've gone through, I think, and I say this with a lot of sincerity, we've gone through a lot of work and effort to make the website user-friendly, put up accurate photos, accurate descriptions. We're selling name brand stuff, and you have the choice there. You really have selection, a wide variety of prices. If you're more of a price shopper, we can cater to that. If you're really looking for certain name brand items, we can cater to that. So the idea is, again, great online shopping experience, and when you open the box, when it does arrive, we want the surprise to be a happy one, not a sad or disappointed one.
Yeah, I mean, really, to know that, you know, if you know that your brakes are getting a little bit worn, and you say, well, you know, I'll order a set of brake pads online, and to know that they're a name that you've seen before, you've heard before, and you can do a little bit of comparison shopping to see maybe how they stack up. But, you know, if you're going to buy a set of Raybestos or Bosch brake pads or Wagner or something else like that, you know you're buying a name brand rather than maybe just a white cardboard box that has brake pads in it.
Exactly. And again, we've made this appeal to clients who call us up that please take a look at what we have on our website. We sell name brands. I just also want to point out we've got helpful technical articles on our website. So again, we're trying to send the message out there. Listen, disc brakes may seem overwhelming to you, but if you're a little bit handy and have a basic set of shop tools, you can change a set of brake pads in your own driveway or in your own garage. Yeah. So you can save some money on labor there. And again, if it's something that you don't feel up to or you don't have the time to do it, you can buy the pads from us. We're seeing more and more independent repair shops that are open to the idea of the customer supplying their own parts. So we're reaching out to those folk also.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And how about, you know, one of the things I think people get concerned about with, and we'll show my age, we'll call it mail order. but what happens when you order the part and either a mistake on my end or a change in production and it's not the right part and I need to return it? Is that a hassle?
Not at all. We've got a 30-day money-back guarantee. The only thing we ask is that the part be sent back in resellable condition. So please don't install it and then drive on it for 1,000 miles and then change your mind. But seriously, we want clients to be happy. We really do. So if there's a reason why you're disappointed in it, it's arrived damaged, it's not what you expected, we have a very liberal return policy. We want to see you happy. We know by doing that, what we're doing long term is we're getting folks that they're going to come back to us, and we expect they're going to continue to buy from us.
And although it was 16 degrees when I left the house this morning, you guys, one of the things that popped up on your website when I was looking around on it, I can turn my SUV into a tent.
Yeah, although I don't recommend it this weekend. Well, it depends where you live, I guess. You know, that for me, I worked for an OE manufacturer for 20-plus years, so being in the aftermarket business now with Car ID has been just so exciting for me. When I look at some of these things that never even crossed my mind, we talked earlier about how light trucks constitute 60% of the buying market. People are buying versatile vehicles like SUVs, like pickup trucks, and they're making them even more versatile. So we have, you know, camping is huge. Maybe this is a reaction to this inside world. We're all glued to computer screens, what, for 8-10 hours a day, and people just need that outdoor experience. So if you want to go camping, you can buy a four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive vehicle. It'll take you to the campsite without getting stuck. And then you can just put a pop-up tent on the back of your pickup or a tent that extends out of the back of your SUV. And now instead of trying to set up a campsite or paying for a hotel room, you can camp right inside your vehicle. Oh, by the way, you can buy 12-volt accessories that will heat up and cook your food and 12-volt refrigerators that will keep your food cold for the weekend.
Yeah, no, it's amazing what can be done and how it's, you know, really something. You look at that and you say, well, I kind of like the idea that I want to sleep off the ground, so I'll sleep in the back of my SUV, but yet I'll have this little tent area where I can sit around and, you know, read a book or do whatever I want to do. You know, hopefully if you've gone to this extent, you've left your computer and tablet and phone home, so you're actually sitting out and enjoying a little bit of nature. But yeah, no, it's interesting how this works, and you fold it all up and it makes it kind of nice and easy to put it all together. So you know, you have all of these accessories, all of these parts that are available. To a guy like you, this must be a little bit of a kid in a candy store kind of feeling, though.
Oh, absolutely is. I work with a great bunch of folks, a lot of younger folks. Again, I'm happy to say that they are enthusiasts, excited to come to work every day, talk to clients about cars and trucks, sell them these kinds of things. So it is a lot of fun. And I do joke with some of the people at work that for me, it's not work. Going to work and talking about cars and trucks all day, kind of like what you do, John. Mm. You know, it's not a bad gig.
Yeah, and the website, again, is real simple. It's carid.com, right?
Yes, it's carid, carid.com, and check it out. Just plug in your year, make, model, vehicle, and all the accessories and parts that will fit your car or truck will pop right up for you.
Okay, and now for the big question, the score of the Super Bowl.
Wait, is there a game this weekend? Yeah. I wasn't sure what was going on. Listen, how dare I say anything other than the Pats are going to take this? I am talking to a Boston radio station.
You are.
Right? Can I? No, I better not say. I grew up as a Yankee fan in New York City. I'm predicting 28-20 Pats.
Sounds like a good score. And you know, I'll forgive the Yankees thing only because my day job, I work in Rhode Island, so there's a lot of Yankees fans in Rhode Island. So you know, so
all right, yeah, I'll forgive you.
Yeah.
Also, John.
And you know, my coworkers in New York too. So, but yeah, we can agree to disagree on that one. But yeah, Richard, thanks for taking some time out of your Saturday morning and joining us up here in Boston.
John, it was a pleasure to talk to you. All right, have a great day.
You as well. Take care. Bye-bye. That was Richard Rayner from CarID.com. I hadn't heard of the website before. It was new to me, and lots and lots of accessories on there, and some really kind of great-looking custom accessories, too. You know, the Internet now just gives you the ability to find and secure parts that, you know, sometimes just were not easily available. And that's one of the things that I say it in a lot of my columns sometimes is when somebody's looking for a particular part and they're having trouble with it, and maybe it's a part that's been discontinued by the vehicle manufacturer, let the Internet be your friend. Let it do the work. Because I had a woman call me who had a part that needed to be replaced on her Ford Explorer, and the part apparently was on some sort of back order. The dealer said, hey, look, you know, it's you can continue to drive the car, but there could be some issues with it. It's probably going to be, they're telling us 4 to 6 weeks, and she was very upset by that. Her local repair shop, she went there and she asked them whether they could do anything about it. And they said, well, we'd probably just get the part from the dealer. So if it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks for them, it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks for us. And I asked her what the part was. I looked it up. First off, I found it on a website. Then I also found it on Amazon. And I found an original equipment motorcraft part. So exactly the factory part on Amazon. Overnight delivery, she could get it the next day, and the price was actually very, very reasonable. You weren't paying a surplus for it. So, there are times where, you know, local auto parts store might not have it, but you can let the Internet be your friend and find all these parts. Why don't we take a break, pay some bills? When we come back, we have some more stuff to give away, more tickets to give away. Not an auto show this time. We also have a car review to do and some trivia to do, maybe not in that order. My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston, or if you're listening on Sunday night, AM 1260 WBIX, the Business Buzz. We'll be right back.
Honda Cars of Boston is Greater Boston's neighborhood Honda dealer with over 800 new Hondas available to choose from. Just 5 minutes from Boston on Route 99 in Everett, our beautiful new showroom makes your Honda Cars of Boston experience even better. Visit online at HondaCarsOfBoston.com and see all of our tremendous purchase, lease, finance, and certified pre-owned specials. Honda Cars of Boston on Route 99 in Everett is the place for great buys from the Honda guys. Give them a call at 1-800-65-HONDA.
Don't you just hate the hassle of car buying? Make it easy by finding your financing first. Hi, I'm Kevin Chapman. As a member of the City of Boston Credit Union for over 2 decades, I know that they always put their members first with some of the most competitive car rates around. You can figure out what you want to spend before you even go shopping. Come visit the City of Boston Credit Union at cityofbostoncu.com and apply today. Or call 617-635-4545. City of Boston Credit Union. Uniquely Boston.
Equal Opportunity Lender.
Listen
This is Dr. James E. Collins, the senior pastor of Eagle Heights Church in Revere, Massachusetts. And I just want to share with you that about 6 years ago, I partnered with Salem Radio to bring our church ministry beyond our church walls, and it surely did. In fact, we needed to add an addition to our church and turn our fellowship hall into an overflow area. If you would like to see similar results, I urge you to call Pastor Basil Yard at 617-691-2531 and let him know that I recommended you. That's Pastor Basil Yard at 617-691-2531 or email him at basilwhite@salemradioboston.com.
Consult your tax professional before investing. Let me ask you a question. Can you keep your 401k or IRA safe from the death of the dollar, continued rampant Fed spending, political corruption, and from the possible new Cold War with Russia? If you answered no, then listen up. Fortunes are going to be made and lost over the next few months. It's time you took action. Over 50,000 people have requested our Gold IRA investment guide to learn how to protect their retirement savings. Now it's your turn. We are Advantage Gold, the number one rated gold IRA company in America by TrustLink. Right now, we are giving away a free copy of our new Gold IRA protection guide to anyone with an IRA, 401k, or retirement account that is over the age of 55. Just call 1-800-900-8000 right now, and we will help teach you how to keep your retirement savings away from the government and safe in your pocket. Just call today at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Representatives are standing by. Call 800-900-8000 today.
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
Life is a highway. I will ride it all night long. If you're going my way,
and welcome back to The Car Doctor program. Well, I promised I would do trivia, and it's kind of it's not a hard question. It's just, maybe it's a little hard for me to explain. But this is based on a movie from 1970 or so. And it is, it had to do with the star of this movie was Barry Newman. And he played a guy by the name of Kowalski. And he drove a certain kind of car. What kind of car did Kowalski drive in this sort of cult movie in 1970 or 71. So what kind of car was it in this cult movie that had to do with a guy by the name of Kowalski? And see if you know. And if you do know, you'll win a prize. If you don't know, you may even win a prize. You never know. Let's see. All the phones just rang and now none of them work. Also coming up in about a month, well, exactly a month, actually. On March 3rd, 3rd to the 5th at Gillette Stadium, you know, home of the five-time Super Bowl champion Patriots, is going to be the AAA Travel Marketplace. And we have tickets to give away to the Travel Marketplace. So if you would like tickets to the Travel Marketplace, all you have to do is call up and just say, hey, can I get some tickets to the Travel Marketplace? If you want two, if you want four, just let us know. And Karen will get down your name and address, and we will send you out some tickets to the AAA Travel Marketplace. And again, this is March 3rd to the 5th. It's at Gillette Stadium. You know where that is. That's in Foxborough. It's at the Putnam Club East, where it normally is. And we have all the vendors that are there. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's also these workshops now that have become very popular. So if you're interested in, you know, traveling on a river cruise, or you've always wanted to go to Iceland, there could be workshops about that type of thing. So a lot of different things. But you get to talk to the vendors. So the people that really train our salespeople, our travel agents, So you get to talk to them and you get to say, hey, look, you know, I've always thought about going here, but, you know, I'm not sure about this or I'm not sure about that. They can let you know about it. So if you've always wanted to go to Scotland or you've always wanted to go to Ireland, but you weren't quite sure, well, the reps are there and they're very, very familiar with it. Maybe you want to go to the Caribbean and you want to find out more information about that. So lots and lots of stuff to look at the Travel Marketplace. So it's a fun place to go. And again, it's March 3rd through the 5th. And if you would like tickets to the Travel Marketplace, all you have to do is call up and say to Karen, hey, can I get tickets to the Travel Marketplace? And she'll say, how many, two or four? And you can have them. That easy. So, trivia. The question is, the 1970 or 71, a little questionable, movie that had Barry Newman in it, where he played the character Kowalski. What was the car that Kowalski drove? Let's see who knows. Let's go to John. John!
Good morning, sir.
Good morning!
No talk.
I know. How are you these days?
Well, I'm getting along pretty good.
Well, that's good.
I'm going to fumble her around because I know it was a Mopar product. I can't remember if it was the GTX or a Challenger or some four-speed, something like that.
Well, you fumped around pretty good because it was a Challenger. It was a 1970 Challenger, and all reports are that it was an RT440. But even that gets a little questionable. And do you remember what happened to the car at the end?
Well, I sort of got in an accident with a Jaguar. I remember that, but I can't remember the exact end. It's been a couple of summers since I saw the picture.
Yeah, a couple of sleeps since you've seen that movie. Yeah, yeah. But it was an interesting movie, and I kind of remember it as it was probably a good drive-in movie because I don't think as I look back, it probably wasn't much of a movie.
The plot was kind of skimpy.
Yeah. You know, the thing I read about it said a car delivery driver, Kowalski, arrives in Denver, Colorado, late Friday night with a black Chrysler Imperial. The delivery service clerk, Carl Swenson, urges him to get some rest, but Kowalski insists on getting started with his next assignment to deliver a 1970 Dodge Challenger to San Francisco by Monday. Before leaving Denver, Kowalski pulls into a biker bar parking lot to buy some Benzedrine pills to stay awake for the long drive ahead. He bets his dealer, Lee Weaver, that he can get to San Francisco by 3 o'clock tomorrow, even though the delivery is not due until Monday. Distance between the towns is 1,200 miles. That was pretty much the whole movie.
Yeah, well, you've got it down pat. You're sort of dating yourself. Who knows what Benzedrine is?
I know. But and they came out with a second version of this movie a few years ago, and I think it was in the movie theaters for about 30 seconds. So. Well, you're as right as can be. I'll tell you what. Stay right there, and Karen will get down your address, and we'll send you something. We'll send you something you probably don't need, but you're going to get it anyway.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Stay right there, John. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through Talk to Us. Remember, if you want tickets to the AAA Travel Marketplace, all you have to do is call up and say to Karen, can I get AAA tickets? Or tickets to AAA's Travel Marketplace, or something that sounds like that, and she'll take down your name and address, and we'll give them to you. And again, it's March 3rd through the 5th at Gillette Stadium. And if things go correctly, we will be broadcasting live from there. But you know how that works. Sometimes not always that well. Last year, we had the equipment all set up. Everything was good to go, and our computer people forgot to turn the internet on. So there was a little bit of a stumble at the very beginning. We got that finally squared away. So that came back to life. So you never know what could happen. Also, if history repeats itself, which we all know history does repeat itself, I believe that same weekend is the big St. Patrick's Day parade down the Cape, where we usually have our buddies. Sometimes John, sometimes Matt, sometimes Bill at Captain Parker's and the Irish Village. So sometimes bouncing all over the place down the Cape for the uh, for the St. Patrick's Day parade that kind of goes from Dennis to Yarmouth or Yarmouth to Dennis or one way or the other. So it's a big weekend that weekend. So a lot of fun stuff going there. So the answer to the question was, if you were keeping track, it's a 1970 Dodge Challenger, which is also sort of the subject of my road test today, which is also a 2017 Dodge Challenger. So not a 1970, a 2017 Dodge Challenger. And it's a two-door performance-oriented vehicle with the throwback styling of a 1970 or 71 Challenger. So if you recognized it from the movies, you would recognize it now, although when you put them side by side, you realize the new Challenger has grown. It's a design that still works 47 years later. The Challenger can be equipped with a variety of engines, from an economical V6 to a 707-horsepower Monster V8. That's the Hellcat version. Unlike the direct competition from Chevrolet and Ford, the Challenger is available in a winter-taming all-wheel drive mode. My road test was in the six-cylinder Challenger GT. Well, was I disappointed it was a six-cylinder and not a 707-horsepower Hellcat? The six-cylinder makes over 300 horsepower and a fair amount of torque. So the six-cylinder gets up and goes pretty well, and it's all-wheel drive. So because it's all-wheel drive, the little bit of snow we had this week, the Challenger did amazingly well in it. The front seats are comfortable and supportive. The controls are generally well sorted out and easy to use. And like all coupes, the rear seats, well, you can get back there. And as long as you move the seats up, it's reasonably comfortable. But it's an occasional use rear seat would be a good way to describe it. The trunk is huge, just over 16 cubic feet. Like I said, it's a 305-horsepower V6. It provides good power. And during my road test, pretty good fuel economy, too. I've been averaging 26, 27 miles per gallon, which I consider pretty good. If you want to read more about the Dodge Challenger, pick up today's Boston Globe, too, because our buddy Nicole Wakelin, who writes for the Boston Globe, Nicole is a NEMPA member, NEMPA vice president, actually, and she wrote a nice article about the Challenger. There's a couple of these floating around the New England press fleet. And if I was in the automotive PR business, I know for a fact that Chrysler has, I believe, two or three of these Challengers floating around for people to road test. There are some other car companies that have just about nothing around. Well, what happens when they have more than one car around? Well, you get more than one car review. And these are stylish cars, fun cars. This is a car that when I brought it to work yesterday, it got an awful lot of attention from a variety of people, whether male or female, an awful lot of attention. So really, really interesting car. So bottom line on the Challenger, it offers this kind of retro style, the latest in technology. So all the electronics, that, like what Richard was talking about, where you can sync your phone, have everything you imaginable for the ability to play your phone and stuff back and forth. And it also has all-wheel drive, which for a winter vehicle, the Challenger is a real winner. Our price, our as-tested price, just about $40,000, $39,765. Fuel economy, EPA says 18 city, 27 highway, and again, a 305-horsepower V6, pretty substantial V6. So pretty potent, does its job, easy to merge with traffic, just overall pretty good. Let's see where we're going. I think we have Joe on line two. Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Okay, that was one of my favorite movies, Vanishing Point.
Like John said, a little thin on plot, maybe.
Yeah, and a surprise ending.
And a surprise ending, and I believe was Wolfman Jack in that movie.
Yes, he was the disc jockey
who kind of
also was. I think it was a black disc jockey. I forget his name. Cleavon.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And it was a great movie. But anyway, I had a question too.
Yeah, I looked at movies like that one, and when they came out with a new Vanishing Point, and that one wasn't very good. And then I looked at the original Gone in 60 Seconds, and then the new Gone in 60 Seconds, which at least was a little bit better than the second generation Vanishing Point. But
And they had a good car there, the Shelby Cobra.
Yeah, yeah, and the Gone in 60 Seconds, the second version, is actually the producer of that, or writer of that, is actually a guy from Cambridge that also also wrote the movie Con Air with Nicolas Cage. He's done a bunch of Nicolas Cage movies. And if you remember the Gone in 60 Seconds scene, the new one, where it's they're running around with their walkie-talkies and they're doing car trivia. That's actually based on me and some of our friends that were sitting around a table at Venezia with the writer coming up with some lines for the movie. So that's my only claim to fame. So what can we do for you?
Well, I had a question about Mustang convertible top. Question that why don't the mechanics want to work on them? It seems like it must be either a tough job or time consuming and not paying enough.
What's wrong with it?
One side of the convertible top doesn't come up on the 2000 Mustang.
Yeah, and, I mean it is, you know, whenever you do, you know, whenever you do stuff like that, sometimes it is a little bit time consuming. It's one of those things that, you know, sometimes people look at it and they go, I don't know if I want to do this or not, kind of thing, I guess. But in general, it's nuts and bolts still. It's still a pump and some hoses and, you know, some mechanical parts and pieces. You know, a lot of times what happens is they want you to go to a convertible top specialty place. So, but I can't imagine why. I mean, it is a little bit fussy, and it's one of those things that there's no, like, true, like, flat rate sort of, oh, here's what it should cost to work on this. So it's one of those things you got to kind of pay by the hour to do it, but it is just nuts and bolts still.
Well, they were quoting me as that they have to check to see if the piston's leaking or if it's the main...
the pump, yeah.
Generating tech
device
there.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be. I mean, that's just, you know, that's part of a convertible. That's kind of, you know, that's sort of what it is, and it is just time consuming, and you know, you're unfortunately going to have to pay for it. So, but yeah, if it's sluggish on one side, and you look at it and you go, hey, what am I going to do about it? Well, there's only so much. And was this at the dealer or was it a convertible top shop?
It was a convertible top shop. Well, at first I went to the auto body, and they didn't want to really handle it. And then a mechanic said he'd do it for about $500 to $600. It seemed like a lot of money for a system change.
Yeah, considering they don't know what they're looking at yet. You know that, you know, you don't, you know, it could be any number of things that, so, you know, just kind of taking a guess at, you know, what it could be. You know, is it like I said, is it a hydraulic cylinder, is it the convertible top motor itself? You know, chances are it's a hydraulic cylinder that's gone bad, and you know, if that's the case, you know, the cylinder's $150, and it's a, you know, it's a couple hours labor to do one and probably 3 hours labor to do both of them. So you know, it's,
but do they have shops that specifically do convertible tops, or would I have to, like, go to a regular auto?
No, I mean, you would think that, you know, any good convertible top auto upholstery places, you know, that you would think they'd be doing these things all day long. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but like I said, it's one of those things that you, you know, when you're looking at this, you look at, well, is it the pump has just gotten weak, or is the top, or is it the, you know, the cylinder itself, or is it even something? Is there a cable or something that has got
a hose? Yeah, they have a hose.
Yeah, there's hydraulic hoses. The motor itself, you know, that's going to be the big money piece. That's probably a $350 part. But if it's just a hydraulic hose, that's a hydraulic hose. There's hydraulic hoses all over the place in cars, and it's not, you know, super high hydraulic pressure. So those, in a lot of cases, are something that you may actually have made up you know, made up at a place that makes up hydraulic hoses, which a lot of auto parts places make up hoses for things like, you know, plow pumps and all kinds of different things. So, to me, when I look at that, it's like, well, okay, there's a few things to look at, but I don't know. It seems to me if it's it's either one of the lift cylinders, it could be the hydraulic system, but like all things, there's a very specific way to kind of pinpoint what it is and measure what the pressure is and all that sort of thing. But I'm thinking it's probably a bad lift cylinder, and if it is, if you're in there with all the labor to do it and having to bleed it off for another $100-$125, it might be worth, if you're going to hang on to this car forever, you might want to think about replacing both the hydraulic cylinders at the same time.
Mm. And well, they said something about if you add hydraulic fluid in case it leaked a little bit, you could, but you have to put it below the level of the cylinder so that the fluid goes in and doesn't get forced out.
Right, because if you when the top goes up and down, you're changing the level of the fluid. So, but if you're adding fluid, there's obviously a leak somewhere. So, chances are it's probably a cylinder. But I got to tell you, I was looking at an old Thunderbird one day, and the top didn't work, and it was a hose that was bad. And, you know, everybody said, oh, this top hasn't moved in 15 years, the hydraulics are probably junk in it. We replaced the hose, put some fresh fluid in it, you know, cracked the line to try to bleed any air out of it, and the top went up and down perfectly. So, you know, sometimes, wow, sometimes you get real lucky, but chances are, if where it's uneven like that, unless there's a leak in a hose and it's run low on fluid, chances are it's a bad hydraulic cylinder on the side that's lazy.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for your help.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through and talk to us about your car and your car problems or movies or whatever you want to talk about. You can give us a call. What was that noise? Well, whatever it was. Last week we talked about how Walmart is going to start to sell cars, and now there's a company that is going to open up its own self-driving car technology platform. It's called Waymo, which its decision to build its own self-driving car technology platform has its competitors watching to see whether the company can actually carve out a position somewhere between the automaker and auto supplier. The strategy makes Waymo, which is actually part of Google, at the end of the last year, different from Tier 1 suppliers, which sells parts. They want to actually integrate whole platforms. So everybody's getting into the car business in one form or another. Our buddy Rick called in, Rick from Boston. You all know who he is. He's probably out on his motorcycle today on like 15 degrees outside. He's one of those guys. But he said, what can you do about potholes? It's, you know, be pothole season before we know it. It seems like it's always pothole season because we don't have enough money to fix the roads anymore. So, and we patch them and that never really holds up for very long. But what do you do when it's pothole season? Well, first off, try to avoid a pothole. If you can safely swerve around it, that's what you want to do. If you can't swerve around it, get on the brakes as much as you can. Just before you hit the pothole, take your foot off the brake pedal. Because what's going to happen when you step on the brake, I don't care what kind of car it is, front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, when you step on the brake, all the weight transitions to the front of the vehicle, the nose of the car goes down. Well, the last thing you want to do is have any part of the car as low to the ground as possible where there will be damage. So step on the brakes as hard as you can to slow down. And just before you hit the pothole, take your foot off the brake. That's going to let the car kind of bounce back up in the air, so you're going to have a little bit more clearance going over the pothole. The other thing is, if you're running a wheel or tire into the pothole, hitting the pothole with the wheel or tire locked is going to do more damage to the wheel or tire. So you want to roll through a pothole. You don't want to have your brakes locked up and slide across it into it and back out the other side, you're definitely going to do tire damage that way. So your best advice, if you can safely swerve around a pothole, do that. If you can't, hard on the brake just before you hit the pothole, take your foot off the brake pedal, roll through the pothole, hope for the best. Today's tires, I got a email from somebody who went to the auto show, and they said, all of these cars with low-profile tires, they must be going to be, there's going to be some problems with all of the potholes, and absolutely right. Low-profile tires, which are wide and don't have a lot of sidewall to them, those are tires that do get damaged from hitting potholes. Our phone number again, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Tim. Tim.
Yes, good morning, John.
Good morning, how are you?
Oh, fine, thanks. And John, yourself?
I'm good.
Great. John, my grandson has a 91 F-150.
Okay.
And he's up at Bridgewater College,
mm-hmm.
and they stole two tires on him.
Oh.
But the problem is getting new rims, or replacement rims. When he went to the junkyards, they're all just all rusty.
Mm.
And I tried all the parts stores myself around here.
Mm.
Nothing. They don't have any steel rims. I tried on the internet, and they let you order them, but when and then the end it comes. They say they're not available.
Hmm.
You have any ideas?
I would try. You know, there's a couple of places that body shops use. That maybe they can order them. One is called Keystone. The other one's called LKQ. LKQ, it's kind of an acronym for like, kind, and quality. So
okay,
it's,
got it.
Yeah, so, and that's what body shops use to get a lot of auto body parts. They might be able to get a set of wheels for you for that truck. And they're a bigger network to, you know, be able to
have a bit of a chance.
Yeah. I'm surprised somebody would steel wheels off. Is it four-wheel drive or two-wheel drive?
Two-wheel drive and the steel wheel, of course.
Yeah, huh. I wonder why somebody wanted them so bad, other than, I guess, maybe in the same boat that you are.
Yeah, could be, and they were new tires, but
yeah.
The tires aren't the problem. It's the rims, you know?
Yeah.
If he got one of those rusty rims, is it possible to put a tube in there?
It is. The only problem is you always tubeless tires were never really meant for putting tubes inside of them. I mean, if you had to do it, you remember what tube type tires are. You know, you get one little nail in it, and all of a sudden it goes flat right away.
Exactly.
But,
right,
but
yeah.
could you years ago, that's all we ever did when we had a tire that was hard to fix, or you know, a wheel that was really rusty.
You throw
a tube in it. Could you do it? Radial tires and tubes sometimes don't always like each other that much. But you know, for better than anything. I mean, the other thing is, depending on how rusty the wheel is and how much effort you wanted, I suppose you could send the wheel out to a sandblaster and have them sandblast it and throw a coat of paint on it.
Well, that's not a bad idea
yeah.
either, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
They might have to.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing, and to me it almost seems crazy, is, you know, you go to some place like somebody that sells, you know, custom wheels, and I suppose you could buy a, not an aluminum wheel, but sort of some kind of shiny chrome-plated something or other. And
yeah, but most of them want to sell you the whole set.
Yeah, I know, that's just it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I would think that...
Well, I'll try that Keystone and...
LKQ. You might have to go through a body shop, though. You know,
oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, maybe talk to them and say, hey, look, here's my situation. Can you order me two wheels, you know, through your used parts supplier and see what they have?
All right.
Okay?
Well, thank you very much, John.
All right,
have a good
luck.
Weekend.
You as well. Take care.
Bye. Thanks, John.
Yep. Let's go to Tom. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you? You know, you should have seen my look on my face when the guy says he couldn't get rims.
I kind of felt the same way. I'm like, it's only the most popular vehicle ever made. But yeah, maybe they're all just so rusty and hard to get. So
yeah, I was kind of surprised.
You got a set kicking around for him?
I wish I did. I'd be glad to give them. You know, usually you say, how do I get rid of them?
I know. That's usually the story. But you know, it is a, it's 91, 2000, 2000, 26-year-old truck, I guess. So
I'm thinking even up and down Thatcher Street in Brockton.
Yeah, you know, but, you know.
Keep them that long.
Yeah, and that's just it. You know, when they get, you know, when they get that old, yeah, they've been sitting around, and, you know, especially if they've been sitting around with, you know, tires on them, they got moisture inside of them. Yeah, they might be all rusty, but I think I still go back to, there was a show on television for, I think it was only 6 or 7 episodes, and it was a show that they went to Cuba, and they followed these couple of guys around that were trying to, one of them was trying to get an old car set up so we could actually use it as a taxi cab, and another one was just some car enthusiast, and, you know, they were making stuff out of nothing. You know, they were, you know, they would need, you know, they would need a U-joint for something, or you know, they would find pieces of junk and weld it together and make it work. And I'm like, oh, here's a guy, you can't get a steel wheel. How can that even be possible? But,
yeah,
you know, maybe just wherever he's trying isn't trying. You know, he's trying hard enough, but maybe wherever he's asking isn't trying hard enough. I would think if you could get, as long as you got a wheel that was not, you know, not rotted, but just rusty, you could sandblast that, you know, spend 30 minutes per wheel, sandblast it, have someone put a coat of paint on it, and I would think you'd have a good wheel afterwards.
And here's what I'm thinking. We're thinking inside of Massachusetts here. And I'm thinking, you know, my wife and I, we lived out in Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
For 5 years, you know, 2 hours south of Tucson. And they still had, you know, AMC Pacers out there. They had the Gremlin. You know, all these cars from the 70s, and there's no rust on them.
Right.
And, of course, the Cowboys all have their pickup trucks, and they got the little, what do you call it, natural gas tanks in the back there so they can go from gasoline to gas. Or propane gas, or whatever you want to call it. And so I'm thinking even out there they might even have it. They call somewhere, I wouldn't know where to look because there's, you know, junkyards out there. But, you know, they got 68 Chevys with the 283 still in it and still selling them for $800. So many times they says, maybe I'm going to get a car carrier and bring 6 of them back to Massachusetts and get $3,000 for them.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of look at, you go, there's got to be a reasonable solution to this. And you're right, you know, with the internet today, you know, you get 2 wheels, they shrink wrap them on top of a pallet, they put them on a truck, and all of a sudden, you know, freight and delivery, and you know, you're ready to go. You know, the idea of going with a, you know, a custom wheel. I mean, you could certainly go on, you know, Richard, the guy who was on earlier in the show from Car ID. You could, you know, they'll sell you custom wheels all day long. So, you know, but to just get a plain old steel, flat steel wheel, you're right. Just there's got to be an answer, and the answer isn't no. The answer is there's somebody out there that can do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a quick question
sure.
for you. I was watching Motor Week or something like that.
Yeah, with John Davis, guy that wears a blue sport coat all the time.
Exactly.
That's why when he was on the show one time, I said to him, John, how come they don't get you a new coat?
That's right. Now, one of the vehicles he's talking about, it says, comes with 17-inch tires, but the option, you have the option to get 20.
Mm.
Why would I want to go to 20?
A style. You know, it's all about style. You know, a bigger wheel, narrower sidewall. You know, the idea is that on good roads, it may handle a little bit better, less sidewall flex, because the overall, you know, floor to, you know, street to fender wall size is going to be probably the same. So instead of having a 17-inch wheel with a sidewall that's, you know, a tire sidewall that's 3.5 inches, all of a sudden now you have a 20-inch wheel with a 1.5-inch sidewall. So less tire flex, more chrome or aluminum or color or whatever it is. So a little bit more style to it. Yeah, you can go out, and a lot of people will tell me, hey, I'm looking at whatever it is. I'm looking at a Hyundai Sonata, and there's a one with the touring package that instead of the 17-inch wheels comes with, you know, 19-inch wheels. What do you think about buying it? I'm like, not in New England. You know, in Arizona, yeah, but in Florida, Yeah, but not with New England potholes. Not a good idea.
Well, I was thinking, doesn't it, like, the bigger the rim seems like the tougher the ride?
It does. It firms up the ride a little bit, too.
Because these are on, like, SUVs that they were talking about.
Yeah, okay. Oh, no, you will get a little bit stiffer ride because the sidewall of the tire is what gives you a little bit of that cushion, too. So you're absolutely right.
So I got that look on my face. It's like, why would I want to go bigger when it's going to interfere or change the ride? And the tires, even though you're getting less rubber, goes up in price.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you bend a 20-inch wheel, it's exponentially more expensive than a 15 or 16-inch wheel. So,
have you ever heard of the tires being covered by insurance?
If you actually hit a pothole and blow out a tire, they will be, but it's like a collision, so it's under your deductible. So if a lot of people have $500 deductibles or $1,000 deductible.
Yeah.
By the time you buy the wheel and the tire, it doesn't pay. So it is covered, but barely. And then, you know, can you sue a city or town? The problem is you can. There is a budget for that, but
and
it's
I
like,
have.
Yeah, how'd you make out?
Very good. You just have to be a little more persistent.
Right.
They have a statement saying that they're not responsible. And, I reported the pothole, and they said once somebody reports that they have like a 24-hour window to get it fixed.
Right.
Well, that week it rained, and that pothole got covered in with water. And I'm thinking, oh, it's all fixed. And drove through, and boom.
Mm.
And it's like, you think the whole front end fell off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, holy mackerel. And I'm waiting for the airbags and everything else to go off. And it's like, what is that? And of course, about half a mile down the road, I get a flat tire.
Yeah, it's sort of the first person that hits it, it's an active nature. You know, it's like, oh, we can't be responsible for every road in the Bay State. The second, you know, but once it gets reported, it's their obligation to fix it. And they're supposed to fix it within a reasonable period of time, or put a cone over to do something. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, they did draft me a check and took care of it.
Yeah, that's all.
You just had to be a little more persistent.
Yeah.
You know, if people report it, it'd be nice to help the other person behind them.
Yeah. No, this was 2 years ago during our snowstorm winter, you know, where it seemed like we got one storm after another, and I hit a pothole right near my house and actually blew out both right side tires. But to look at the tires, you would think nothing was wrong with them, but it was just pinched it just right. And my, after my blood pressure went down, the next thing I did was call a town DPW and say, hey, there's a pretty big pothole right, you know, if you're driving where you're supposed to be in the road, you're going to hit it every single time. And then I think it took them a couple days before they got up there, but they actually, you know, filled it with coal patch, which lasted a month or so, and then it fell out again. But
The other thing is trying to find the right people. I was down in Plymouth, and I called the town of Plymouth about one, and they said it's not our problem.
Mm.
Call the state. So I call the state. The state says, no, that's DCR.
Yep.
Recreation.
The Parks Department, yeah.
Yeah, and call them. So it's like three different, entities there to figure out who's responsible for that certain road.
Well, you can actually, if you go back in time, I believe, you can blame Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney said, well, we can't be responsible for damage to people's cars because of potholes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's about as political as I get. That's about all I know.
And we're not supposed to bring up politics anyway.
That's right.
Because everybody's so sensitive anyway.
Yeah, we can bring up the Patriots if you want.
Absolutely. Be interesting to see the game tomorrow, boy.
All right.
All that talk. Listen, have a great week.
You as too. You as well, Tom. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Jim. Jim?
Jim? Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question. I have a 2008 Buick LaCrosse.
Okay.
I bought it about 5 years ago. It has a salvage title.
Okay.
I received a note from NHTSA or whoever it was, that I'd been recalled.
All right.
So I was recalled for a headlight module that Buick or GM has found to be defective.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally made a repair module. So I made an appointment, went in, and they wouldn't honor the recall because the car had a branded title.
Hmm. I've never heard of that.
Well, I was kind of surprised, too. I know I've had once before I went into something, and because of the title, they wouldn't honor the warranty that it was newer. And I said, well, okay, I guess I can understand that. But now, this being a recall from GM, and it's just more of a nuisance thing. It's what happens is the relay will overheat, burn out, you lose your headlights.
Hmm.
And after the second time, I actually tried to sue GM to get my money back for the money that I put into it. That didn't work out so well, but now that they've recalled it, I thought that would be a federally mandated type thing. And I just wondered if you'd heard anything about that or where I might go next.
Yeah, I guess the I hadn't heard of this before. As far as not taking care of it because of a recall. I guess my next step, if there's anybody at NHTSA these days, or if they can answer the phone, I'm not sure what's going on there these days. I guess I'd call NHTSA and say, look, is this actually the case? The car's been recalled for a safety related item. I know it's a retitled vehicle. Do you know what was up with the vehicle? Was it a recovered theft or a flood or?
It was hit and repaired.
Oh, okay. So it was a reconstructed loss.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that didn't affect the operation of the car. It was a fender and whatever.
Yeah.
Not a bad damage.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I mean, the other thing I guess I'd do is I'd call Buick directly and say.
No, I've tried Buick. I tried it when they sent out a notice about the relay a while ago, and they said that once they figured out how they were going to fix the relay, they'd let you know.
Hmm.
And in the interim, if you had repaired it, you could send them a letter and a copy of your...
What is it?
Which I did, and I wanted them to pay me for the first time as well as the second time, and I only had a slip for the second time. And I ended up going to the Attorney General, and I went through the whole drill, and Buick was not very receptive. They blew me off, and I finally gave up. I don't think I'd call Buick. I know I wouldn't buy another one. That's
I mean,
it's federal.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's a federal law, and I can't see how a federal law can be circumvented because of what happened with the vehicle prior. I could understand, for instance, if it was you bought this car because it was in a flood, and you decided, hey, I'll take a chance on it, I'll dry it out, and then they say, well, the headlight module or the headlight driver is bad. And, could that have been a result of the flood as well as the defect? Yeah, it could. But in this case, I don't know. I guess I'd call NHTSA and see what their answer is. If that is the legal policy, I guess there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's what they need to find out,
yeah.
I guess, whether the government will cover or force GM to do what's right, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I just wondered if you'd heard about that.
No, I hadn't, but I would, I would call, I guess it's 800-424-9153. Oh, I'm sorry, it's, no, 888-327-4236. So,
that's NHTSA?
Yeah, that's NHTSA. And
okay.
Yeah, 888-327-4236, and just say, hey, look, you know, this is my situation. I have a car. It had some body damage. It was totaled. I got it with a new title. And is it true that I could understand if it was extended the warranty, for instance. Well, that they're trying, but where it's a safety hazard, what this is really saying, and what this is the government is, if the government is actually saying this, what this is really saying is, well, you know, there are cars that are recalled and may never get fixed because the manufacturer doesn't have to, because this is what happened. To me, that seems pretty dangerous.
I know, and it's, as I say, it's the headlight. So for a lot of people, that's a problem.
Yeah.
In essence, all you got to do is turn your high beams on.
Right. Right.
You can get a new relay.
Yep.
But, you know, not everybody's capable of doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you know, think about it as, you know, being, you know, say it was a defect of the castle nut that holds the ball joint together. You know, and
right.
All of a sudden the wheel could come off. Well, you know, is that just because the car had a reconstructed title, is that enough where the manufacturer doesn't have to stand behind a part that they put in the vehicle? To me, it seems like unless that vehicle was damaged in that particular area, no, it doesn't. It doesn't to me. So, but I would call.
Yeah, really, all I want to get is the new relay. And
yeah.
If I could just even get them to send me one, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But I don't want to have to go to GM and buy one when, in fact, they should have done it because it was their fault to begin with.
Yeah, but, no, I agree with you, but I'd call NHTSA first and see what they have to say.
I think I'll email them because I like this stuff in writing.
Yeah, nope, perfect. Yeah, you go to safercar.gov and there should be a contact us page there somewhere.
I appreciate your help.
Okay, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye. Okay, one more call before we take a break. Let's talk to Robert. Robert?
Go on, John. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I only caught part of the conversation, the gentleman looking for wheels.
For 1991 Ford F-150.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I had some Ford wheels, but they're for, you know, a Ranger. Or a car.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I was going to, yep. You know, offer them for free, but
yep.
Yeah, I don't have truck wheels.
Yeah, well, you need to buy a truck and have extra wheels for them.
Yeah. Oh, I have a truck and extra wheels, but... Not for him.
I understand, and like he said, what do you do when you have extra wheels and tires kicking around? You know, most of the time you're having trouble figuring out how to get rid of them.
Yeah, I've had these for 25 years.
Yeah,
you know, they're coming from Montego and Torino.
Yeah,
that's where
you find out Craigslist or eBay somebody might want them. But
yeah, because I was just willing to. They wanted to travel, like I have them. There's tires on them and everything, but I wouldn't trust the tires.
No, not that old. But thanks anyway.
Yeah. Also on that, the trivia you have there. I think we discussed this once before on that movie. If you put it on pause when the car hits the bulldozers, it's not a Challenger or a Cougar.
Yeah. But they can only wreck so many cars, I guess.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
If I didn't want to wreck a Chrysler product, maybe they were sponsored.
Well, probably not, but they probably had to have a car that was all especially put together and, with remote, who knows what kind of remote control they had back then, so.
I don't know if they were just giving a shove with a push truck.
And that's, a lot of times if you look at some of those older movies like that, if you're able to stop it, you'll actually see a cable.
Yeah,
There'll be this cable that will be, running close to the ground, and that's what's actually steering the car. But because they hate to have the car going 60 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour into a bulldozer, and all of a sudden have it veer to the right,
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all right, take care. Bye bye.
Thank you. You too.
Why don't we take a break, pay some bills? My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. If you're on hold, stay right there. We'll be with you in just a couple minutes. If you would like to join us, our phone number is 617-770-3030. And remember, if you'd like tickets to the travel marketplace, you can get them by just giving us a call at 617-770-3030.
Get out on the highway, looking for adventure.
Honda Cars of Boston is Greater Boston's neighborhood Honda dealer with over 800 new Hondas available to choose from. Just 5 minutes from Boston on Route 99 in Everett, our beautiful new showroom makes your Honda Cars of Boston experience even better. Visit online at HondaCarsOfBoston.com and see all of our tremendous purchase, lease, finance, and certified pre-owned specials. Honda Cars of Boston on Route 99 in Everett is the place for great buys from the Honda guys. Give them a call at 1-800-65-HONDA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Chapman. You know, I make my living in Hollywood, but I choose to keep my money with the City of Boston Credit Union. As a member for over two decades, I put my family's trust in the City of Boston Credit Union with four full-service branches, including their latest in Canton. Check out the City of Boston Credit Union at cityofbostoncu.com and see how you, too, can become a member today. City of Boston Credit Union. Uniquely Boston.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, this is Carol Howley Simmons, General Sales Manager of Salem Media Group Boston. As you know, 2017 is WROL Irish 950's Golden Jubilee, and as we plan our upcoming celebrations, we are feeling nostalgic and think it is only fitting to dance down memory lane with all of you. We would like you to call us at 617-691-2534 and share your memories and stories of what WROL Irish 950 has meant to you over the years. We will record you and then share your words each weekend over the airwaves. Our phone lines are open 24/7, so call us anytime at 617-691-2534. For 50 years, WROL Irish 950 has proudly made history every Irish weekend, right up to this very weekend. Come make it with us.
Consult your tax professional before investing. Let me ask you a question. Can you keep your 401k or IRA safe from the death of the dollar, continued rampant Fed spending, political corruption, and from the possible new Cold War with Russia? If you answered no, then listen up. Fortunes are going to be made and lost over the next few months. It's time you took action. Over 50,000 people have requested our Gold IRA investment guide to learn how to protect their retirement savings. Now it's your turn. We are Advantage Gold, the number one rated gold IRA company in America by TrustLink. Right now, we are giving away a free copy of our new Gold IRA Protection Guide to anyone with an IRA, 401k, or retirement account that is over the age of 55. Just call 1-800-900-8000 right now, and we will help teach you how to keep your retirement savings away from the government and safe in your pocket. Just call today at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Representatives are standing by. Call 800-900-8000 today.
WROL Boston. You're listening to The Car Doctor.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston, or AM 1260 WBIX, if you're listening on Sunday nights. But right now, let's go there, I think. Line two, I think. Good morning, you're on the Car Doctor program. Hello? 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 Not there. Okay. Maybe not.
Hello?
We tried. We tried.
Hello?
So... there was a introduced at the Detroit Auto Show as the new Chevy Traverse, and I was just reading what some of the commentary was about the new vehicle. It's gotten a little bit bigger. It's got a little bit more squared off. It looks less like a minivan and more like a Tahoe now. And the first generation really didn't change that much for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
But I'm wrong. For 9 years, it says in the article. Chevrolet has given the Traverse its largest crossover, more truck-like appearance. Again, it looks more like a Tahoe. Here's a sampling of the reaction from the Detroit Auto Show. Strikes a less bubbly and more refined appearance, particularly in the back, according to the folks at CNET. The New York Daily News said the styling is absolutely perfect with a slightly scowling face, wheels pushed out to the corners, flare fenders wrapped around rear glass. The new Traverse is a handsome conveyance. More squared off looking than his predecessor. Not a lot from Car and Driver. Motor One said it's huge. Autoblog. We're going to be talking to the people from Autoblog in a couple weeks, I think. The wheelbase is massive, meaning a third row doesn't have to sit right on top of the wheels. Looks far more masculine, poaching some of the design cues from the full-size Tahoe and Suburban. Up front, the Traverse adopts the current corporate face, but out back, you wouldn't be faulted for thinking this was a Ford Explorer, not a Chevrolet. People from Auto Week, John Davis and crew, say Chevrolet toughened up its looks of this big front-wheel drive family hauler, and... Cars.com said the cabin is a strange mix of upscale materials and amenities next to cheap-looking plastics that are out of place in a modern SUV. That said, families should like the cabin space. So, a variety of thoughts about the new Traverse. Let's try again. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I have an 04 Lincoln Navigator, and I was wondering what your suggestion is in order to maintain during the winter time with the air suspension.
Move to some place where they don't put salt on the roads. try to keep it as clean as you can. Because the air suspension, anytime you get grit, salt, and dirt into the air suspension, that's where you can sort of run into a problem. How old did you say this was?
It's an 04.
04. So it's 11, 12 years old, 13 years old, right? So how many miles are on it?
220.
Yeah.
But it's running good.
It's running good. So, all you can really do is, really just try to, fix anything as soon as it breaks. If you get a warning light that says there's something wrong with the air suspension, you want to try to take care of that as soon as you can, because if the compressor isn't working right or the suspension runs low, that's where you're going to have problems. So I would try to keep an eye on it and try to you've probably outlived most people's luck with it, but. There has been some problems over time that I remember that the height sensor for the back, there's this little valve, and the connection for that can come loose. In some cases, it can even fall off. So you want to make sure all the pieces are okay. You also want to, if all of a sudden you start hearing the compressor start to make a bunch of noises, you want to look at that and see if there's any kind of particular problems with it. It can get pretty expensive to fix it when it starts to, the air spring itself can get, can be a problem when it starts to break. So, but other than that, it's mostly the dirt and grime that gets in there that's a problem. But as I recall, the air springs on this thing are about $1,000 a piece.
Actually, a little less.
A little less?
A little less, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, it's very expensive. So I would just do my best to try to, keep everything as clean as you can. It's that dirt and grit and junk that gets in there that can cause some damage to the air spring itself. And then again, like I said, if you see any kind of an issue with... any kind of warning light that comes on that says the system's not working right, anything like that, that's where you want to be able to get in there, and you want to make sure that you get that fixed as soon as you can, because you don't want to all of a sudden have the air springs run with no air in them, or you don't want to have them maxed out to as high as they can go. So, just try to take care of it the best you can is about all you can do.
Yeah, probably go get it to the car wash after every other.
Yeah, that's the best thing. Or if you found yourself, like I did it the other day, I wanted to go look at something, and it was in a parking lot that wasn't paved, so it was all muddy and dirty, and so when I got out of the parking lot, the car had ground up gravel and everything else, and I was going as slow as you could go, but it was still kicking it all up under there. Well, you don't want to get that rubbing in between the rubber bag and the sleeve that the bag works up against, because that's going to cause a hole in it. But right now you're just fighting age. You're just fighting a car that's 13 years old that eventually the part's just going to fail.
one last question for
sure.
you. As far as the advanced track, I'm having a little problem with that. I know I have a little leak on the cooling line that goes from the transmission, so I'm a little low on the transmission. So I'm having a little problem to get engaged on the advanced track, because when I put in an all-wheel drive or 4x4, what it does is I hear the grinding like a metal-to-metal type of toy, and I get a one-wheel that slips off.
Mm.
So what do you think it could be?
I think you're going to find that's mechanical. Yeah, I think you're going to find that, you know, that uses a series of vacuum controls to actually cause that to go in and out. You could have a vacuum line or a vacuum solenoid that's starting to just get weak. If it isn't that, you're going to find out inside the system, maybe there's some wear on the fork or the gear or however that works to make it work. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but try to avoid using it until you get somebody in there to look at it. But I think you're going to find that with that system, if it's, I don't remember what that one looks like, but a lot of those use like a vacuum, it's a little vacuum solenoid that when you push the button or turn the knob, whatever it is, it actually moves a lever, which puts it into gear. And you know, over time, those things will get weak and they just won't work right. So, you know, it could be something really, really simple that there's just a vacuum leak somewhere that's causing the problem, or it could be a little bit more involved. And if that's the case, it's going to be mechanical, and that's going to be, all of a sudden now you're going to start spending some money. But if it's just a matter of an actuator or a solenoid for the system, that should be pretty straightforward. That shouldn't be too hard to look at. There's an electronic shift coil, and like I said, there's an actuator for the system itself. So,
so you think the oil, the lower oil level does not affect?
No, I don't think that affects it at all. But you should always make sure that stays full, because you don't want to cause a problem. But yeah, that's not, that low oil level is could cause some other issues, but not. Not in this particular case. Why it's not going in a gear doesn't have anything to do with the oil level.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
All right.
First time calling, and thank you very much.
Well,
thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling. Appreciate you listening.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Same to you.
Bye.
Hey, look, it's John Costello just hanging around in the studio all of a sudden. Look at him.
Getting ready.
Getting ready.
Super professional.
Andy brought coffee.
Mm. Yes, I did.
Yeah,
does
so,
Bill Sullivan bring coffee?
Never.
No.
Only for himself.
Selfish. He can do that. He's been around since 1982.
Well, he's been around, and I think he was going down to see his grandson, and
yes,
and you know, watch the Super Bowl with his grandson or something. So. Yeah,
that's
so
nice.
all kinds of good things. So, Johnny, what do you got planned for today?
Lots of Super Bowl talk.
Lots of Super Bowl talk?
No, I have no idea. Tons of music coming at you.
I was gonna say because the Sunrise Sports, you know, have you listened to them?
I listened to them this morning. As a matter of fact, tomorrow on the Feast of Irish Music, I have them coming in there at 3:30. We're going to have an Irish tailgate party.
Nice. Are they the, like, most articulate teenagers?
I can't believe it. Yeah. I would be a doctor if I was that articulate, not a postman at their age.
But it's. I remember when they had squeaky voices. You know, and I'm like, they can't be the same guy.
They're not fine. Puberty. I'm not kidding. What are they, like 12 or 13 years old? But they're unbelievable. I love those.
I think they're 16. Karen, how old are they? 15, 16, something like that.
Probably like 16.
16, yeah. So they do a great job. They know what they're talking about.
They do. That's why I'm having them on tomorrow. We're gonna, like I said, we're gonna have an Irish tailgate party. They're coming on at 3:30. I've had them on before when they switched the time when they precede you, and just to give a little cross promotion. And I was blown away by their knowledge at that age.
Yeah,
I was trading baseball cards and riding bikes and doing wheelies. These guys are studying sports pages.
I know they're amazing. Hey, we got to get going. The very best in Irish music is coming up with Johnny Costello and the Irish Hit Parade filling in for our buddy Paul Sullivan. Till next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, and be good to your car. Talk to you all next week. Bye bye. ¶¶
words I've mastered. Better young Miley Dead or Littleton led. That he died on the streets of Belfast.